You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Big thanks to Andy Markowski, Mitch Sherman so far, David Gustafson, part of Creighton Baseball, Husker Baseball, in action tonight at, Schwab, dare I say?
The Charles Schwab Field.
I got that venue correct.
And they actually have the signage correct now, I believe.
Which is important. You know, Lawrence Lincoln, keep hammering me for that. But
happens to the best of us.
But Nebraska and Kansas Thursday. Good stuff from Andy Markowski talking hoops. Can find the podcast, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play. Or just watch the entire video of Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity YouTube channel is where you go. Numbers to get in, 489-1240, 489-1240. Can email the show, Chris, at hailvarsity.com. We'll get to some of those emails in just a little bit as we will dive back into some college football, specifically just the enormity of the recruiting weekend. Again, Nebraska making headlines with the list they're putting together for March 25th. The list is impressive. Headlined by Mr. Raiola. Reminder to get buckled up using your seatbelt. It saves lives. It prevents injuries. Only if properly worn. Buckle up. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office. So we can talk about, defining recruits, defining hires, defining moments for Nebraska football. You can lay them out there over a 50-year run that's as impressive as any in the world of college football. Nebraska trying to rekindle that. Matt Rhule trying to get that back on track with his first spring. But ESPN put together a season-defining game for their top 25 for next season. And Georgia doesn't go crazy with their schedule, per se. But what really shifted things for them was what they were able to do against Tennessee, that buildup. That really springboarded them, 27-13. Ohio State, their season-defining ball game was Michigan, and it was their second consecutive loss. Michigan backed it up and proved it a year ago when they went back-to-back over Ohio State. It had been way too long, if you ask Michigan fans, since they had beaten Ohio State. Now they've done it 2 years in a row. Alabama, their opener was against Texas. They won that one, barely, but they lost to Tennessee on the road. Penn State, they've got a couple of games a year that really define them. USC, they did not pass the test any time they played Utah last season. LSU, Oregon, you go down the list, you've got those moments. And for Nebraska football, I want to get there. As we look at the schedule, cart before the horse, way too early, but it's something to think about because we're in that definition mode. How are things defined right now by Matt Rhule? You've got to earn the right to practice and be on the practice field. Even if you're Anthony Grant. Especially if you're Anthony Grant. Moving forward, there's standards and procedures with competition that he's laid out that the guys need to meet. Guys are accepting that. They're embracing it, and they're ready to rock. I mean, the storylines are not just the defensive shift with the 3-3-5, but assessing the personnel, alerting the players, and the players learning about their coaches. You've got energy and you got a certain mood. You have culture that's being fixed by rule, specifically in tight moments. You need confidence and execution. And you have some position groups, some guys to look at here for this upcoming spring. The quarterbacks that are healthy, Sims and Purdy and Harburg and Torres. The tight end room is uber talented, with Fedoni that's getting limited action, but Gilbert, the all-world talent, can that be part of the reality in fall? Rollins, Borkature, Applegate, and Bonner are two new names in the tight end room, and then some guys that can really flash this year in spring football. What type of performance does Harburg put together? Does he get shifted to a different spot because of his athleticism? Does Gabe Irvin keep it up at the running back spot with or without an Anthony Grant in the room? Jamari Butler, is it a breakthrough year for him as a pass rusher that you want in this 3-3-5? And then you've got a guy that's a potential disruptor in Javon Wright, Buddha, with his length and athleticism. I mean, those are some puzzle pieces that you want to get into that 3-3-5. So those are all some of the storylines with spring, but with the season-defining part of things as we get into fall, do you go beyond Minnesota as the season-defining game for Nebraska if we're to really, truly look at the upcoming schedule?
Well, yeah. Yeah, I think you 100% have to look past Minnesota because that's the first game from a new head coach. There's going to be those growing pains, that learning curve, those stupid mistakes that are going to make one. Like, let me just, if you're thinking that this Nebraska team's going to look perfect in week one, it's going to define the season, that's crazy talk. There's going to be so many issues. Just to brace yourself, Husker Nation, like, there's going to be a lot of issues. There's going to be a lot of problems. There's going to be growing pains. There's going to be things that you go, what the hell are we doing on the field right now in week one against Minnesota, week zero, I guess, technically. But it's about, at the end of the day, getting a win in that game and learning what you need to improve upon that you can work on, because you're going to learn a lot about yourself that you can go work on as you go play Colorado and Northern Illinois and Louisiana Tech. And that Colorado game just got a hell of a lot harder with Coach Prime getting added. But still, it's about learning some things about yourself in week one. Winning and losing matters, yes, but I don't think it's going to end the season if you lose that game to Minnesota. I look ahead to some of the Big Ten West foes in the final year of the Big Ten West. I look at that stretch, particularly after Michigan, because Michigan's another tough matchup. But then you look at the three-game stretch of Illinois, Northwestern, and Purdue. And it's hard for me to pick one game out of those three that's season-defining, but that three-game stretch is going to be your season-definer for next year. Big Ten West foes, it follows some games where you're going to learn a lot about yourself with Minnesota and Michigan. You're going to have some time to get those things fixed with Louisiana Tech and Northern Illinois. That's the three-game stretch where I think if that goes poorly, if you go 1-2 in that three-game stretch, you're going to miss a bowl game next year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and listen, I think there's some grace period here for Rule in year one. I also think he thinks there's talent here. He's learning about it. And I think he expects to make a bowl game. I'm going to try and read his mind. I'm going to get the magic eight ball out. But it's not about year one. It's about year two, year three, and beyond with how this build goes. So you can, and typically Rule's teams have gotten better as the year goes on and they close, either given some other team that they have no business playing well, a lot of hell on a Saturday afternoon, or they might just outright win, and then there's your springboard into year two where you see the jump in previous stops for Rule in college football. I think you can get a good barometer from a organizational standpoint, from a discipline standpoint, even in game one. It isn't going to be perfect, but how bad is bad in game one on the road at Minnesota? Minnesota's beatable, and maybe you don't get it done, but what's it look like? So I think that's a good appetizer for me. And if they go win it, wouldn't be surprised if it is Minnesota winning 17-10 or 24-21 Game one, it happens. Harbaugh didn't win his first game at Michigan.
But I just can't see Minnesota going out there and dominating Nebraska.
I don't see that either.
It's a game that Nebraska, I feel like I look at it now, I look at it as a game that Minnesota's probably going to be favored by somewhere in the 4.5-point range.
It's a field goal
touchdown. And it's a game that Nebraska fans feel good about if you're in a position to win it in the fourth quarter. And you know what? Some self-inflicted mistakes happen, and that's been harped on for years with the self-inflicted mistakes and losing one-score games. But I think you'd feel a hell of a lot better about it in year one under Matt Rule than you would in year three under Scott Frost.
What I look at as your definer, and it is the end of September, I'm going to go Michigan because they are the gold standard of your league. They are back-to-back playoff appearances, back-to-back conference champs. You have your warm-up and welcome to the Big Ten on a Thursday night. We'll be there in Minnesota. Okay, how does that go? How do you respond against Colorado? There's going to be so much hype and history, and it'll be a lot of red and Boulder. It's going to be great. The reality is, as bad as Nebraska's been, and this takeover is not easy for Rule, it's worse for Dion.
Yep.
After they get smoked, presumably, by TCU on the road. You go beat Colorado by 3, by 30, but you figure out a way to do it in your second game. And then you've got time. Northern Illinois, not a pushover. Louisiana Tech, a pain in the neck. And then here is Michigan. By the end of September, you've got a ton of season left. But at that point in the year, you're settled, theoretically, if you're not hurt, with your quarterback, your run game, your identity. There's some strides made with your defense. And can you go play with Michigan? So it doesn't look like last year. Does it look more like 2 years ago on a night game in Memorial Stadium?
That's my
definer. How do you stack up against Michigan after four games to start the season? At that point in the year, can you go get a big pelt for your wall?
I think it's a little bit funny here that it's the second day of spring practice where you're looking ahead at the season. And that's
the
okay.
The jumping off point was here, season-defining games, yeah. Right? You've got your four mile markers into a fall season. I hear you. We're early on.
We don't even know what the two deep's going to look like. But you bring up valid points here, and that's why I look at Illinois. Again, looking way too far ahead, but you realistically should be 3-2 following that Michigan game with Louisiana Tech, Northern Illinois, and Colorado. It's three very winnable games, three games Nebraska's probably going to be favored in. 4-2 after Illinois looks a hell of a lot different than 3-3 with what's coming up on the schedule.
Well, how just gracious, I'm going to whine for a minute, how gracious of the Big Ten, again, to throw you out on the road on a Thursday night. It is in Ireland, but it's using that brand for TV eyeballs.
But with all that being said, if you win the games you should be expected to win early in the year, you can be 3-2 headed to Illinois. If you win that, you're 4-2, and you have a chance to be bowl eligible before the end of October going up against Northwestern and Purdue.
The kick in the you-know-where is you get Michigan, and then you have to go to Illinois.